It's time for another edition of Taco Tuesday here on Q92, where we get together with Amber Boyens, registered dietitian and nutritionist with the Synapse Center for Health and Healing, to talk about nutrition and related topics. And how are you doing, Amber?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good. Good to have you back in the studio here again on this, kind of a pleasant day today.
It is. It's nice out there.
It probably won't be that way for long, so enjoy it while you can.
That's right. Get out and go for a walk.
That's right. Well, yeah, that's something you do recommend, don't you?
I do, especially after eating. It's a great opportunity to get that digestive tract moving, enjoy the weather. It's good for your mental health.
That's right.
The more we can get out, the better, and enjoy these days, because I think I saw like 40 below for a feels like next week.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So we won't talk about
that.
We'll taco about something. We won't taco about that.
Yeah. That's right.
We're going to talk about, today's topic is intuitive eating.
Intuitive eating.
Now, what is intuitive eating?
That's a great question. And intuitive eating is really what it sounds like. It's using your intuition. It's using essentially kind of common sense, although it's really not that simple. For making your food choices. And there were a few large media outlets that put out stories this past week about intuitive eating, because there was a study that was recently published, and the researchers found what dietitians have been operating off of anyway, that dieting, anytime we do restrictions, can actually lead to us eating more. So as soon as people feel like they've broken their diet, they kind of just give up and they start eating whatever they want. They call it the what the heck effect. Not quite heck, but so we'll call it the what the heck effect. What the heck, I've already broken my diet, I'll just eat what I want.
And that kind of defeats the purpose of the whole thing.
Completely, yeah. Defeats the purpose, and those restrictions really aren't helping. So this just turns dieting into this kind of unbreakable cycle, because we feel like we failed, so we just eat whatever we want. We don't see the results. We do something restrictive again. We break it. We feel like we failed, and it just keeps going over and over. So yeah, eating.
People kind of see it as a diet, as some kind of sign of punishment or something
punishment
evil.
Punishment.
And you
temporary.
Are out to get rid of that stigma on diets.
Yeah. You got it. Yes, I think if we can get rid of that whole mentality around doing things that are temporary and restrictive, that's better. So yesterday I was working with one of my patients, and she said something that I hear all the time. She said, "I went to a family thing last weekend, and I saw my uncle. And he looked great. So I asked him what he did." And she said that his response was that he's cut out all sugar and everything white. And that's how he lost all of this weight. So she said, "Now I'm on a 1 week sugar-free and everything white-free." So when people say that, we're talking about like white rice, white bread, kind of our refined grains tend to be those white foods.
Well, that takes just about everything Norwegians
eat. I was just going to say, it's all that stuff that Norwegians love, yeah. And they take it out. And I hear this a lot, that people see somebody who has had some success, not knowing how long that success has been or is going to last, and then they decide to implement it. And oftentimes it is these really restrictive things. And this certainly isn't to say that people shouldn't share their successes or that we shouldn't compliment people on their successes, because other people's success stories can give us a lot of hope, right? Especially if
you can do it, I can do it.
That's right. Yeah. And sharing our struggles is important, too, because it helps break this feeling of isolation sometimes around our challenges. So this isn't to say don't do it because other people are doing it or their success isn't going to last. It's just that when we take out all of these restrictive, or when we make these restrictions, take out all of these things, what happens is we don't have a controlled way to reintroduce it. So one of the words she used, and isn't a word I like around food, is fear. And she said she was nervous when I told her that I thought this was fine. We can do this for a little bit, but we need to have a plan for how we're going to do a controlled reintroduction of something with sugar, because you're probably not going to avoid it for the rest of your life.
Right.
Right. There's going to be something that comes in, whether it's a social event or a stressful day. And then if it's not a controlled opportunity, it feels like a failure. And it's not. It's not a failure to enjoy a treat.
And that stuff with sugar is pretty tempting.
It is tempting. So she said she was fearful. It gave her a lot of anxiety to even think about trying one of these foods again. So when we have that, when we see these people who are having successes, it's just important for us to consider a handful of things. We don't want to create these rules around food, right versus wrong, or misbehaving or failure. Those aren't foods, when we talk about intuitive eating, that we want to have associated with it. That one unintentional, what we have labeled now a mistake of eating something, can really set us back and start to destroy that relationship with food. and create that fear and anxiety, those negative emotions that we really don't want to associate. And I think it's important for us to remember that, you know, when people say, I saw somebody and they look great, looking great often refers to losing weight, right?
Right.
That's usually what they're saying. And weight loss does not always equal health gain. That's what I tell my patients that all the time. I think it's so important to remember that, that we can get weight loss without eating a healthy diet. We can see significant deterioration of health while weight is coming down. So it's important for us to really think about the healthfulness of what we're eating. And intuitive eating is a really great way to kind of shift that mindset a little bit.
Okay.
So intuitive eating is things like paying attention to your hunger and fullness cues. So when are you feeling hungry? When do you feel full? That feeling of kind of Thanksgiving full, where we're just stuffed, is not our goal on a typical meal. We want to be a little closer to feeling satisfied, satisfied and nourished. We want to have more energy after a meal, not feeling like we need to lay down and take a nap after a meal. So those hunger and fullness cues are important. And we do a lot of things early on in life to start to destroy those hunger and fullness cues, like the clean plate club.
Yeah, I was going to say, you go to a restaurant, they heap everything on there and you feel like you have to eat it all.
You do. And a lot of times, you know, when you eat at somebody's house, if they've given you large portions.
Right. You don't want to send it back. They'll think you're, you don't like their food or something.
Exactly.
Right?
It feels rude or it feels inconsiderate. And even as children, a lot of times we have a tendency to say, well, just take a few more bites and then you can go play or you can be done. Just eat
a
little
bit
more.
Yeah.
Yes. I think we've all heard it before. And what we're doing is we're saying, well, you might feel full, but you have food on your plate, so eat more. And just little things like that have started to turn off those hunger and fullness cues in our head, so we don't pay attention to them anymore. So kind of taking a step back, listening to hunger and fullness cues again, listening to your body, letting your body tell you when you need to eat and when to stop eating, is really where intuitive eating comes from. And it's not just those physical feelings, it's the emotional feelings. So thinking about physical, like, you know, do you have energy? Are you feeling bloated? But emotionally, are you eating out of stress? Are you eating out of boredom? What's the purpose for why you're eating right now? Because a lot of us will eat out of habit, eat out of boredom, eat out of happiness, anxiety, eat out of all sorts of things. I hear people say all the time, I had a long day, I really deserve some ice cream. I hear them say, it's been, or I've done really well this week, I've earned dessert.
It's not good for your diet, I would
not
imagine.
Good for your mindset around food, exactly. So this intuitive eating is just shifting that mindset away from one of calories to one of nourishment. What are we doing to nourish our bodies versus what are we doing to restrict? And it's also eliminating food judgment rather than eliminating foods themselves. So intuitive eating doesn't take anything out. Nothing's off limits. Nothing's a bad food. Nothing is wrong. It's looking at foods and saying, how's it nourishing me? And appreciating your body, appreciating everything it's capable of, even if it's not where you want it to be right now. So assessing that language, what language are you using about yourself and about your body?
Okay, so just because I'm sitting down watching TV in the evening doesn't mean I have to have a snack. Is that what you're telling me?
I would say that's...
I should think about whether or not I'm hungry and whether I really need that snack?
That's a great example.
All right.
That's a great example.
That's going to be tough.
It is tough because a lot of what we eat out of habit. And we eat it because we enjoy it. So taking that opportunity to really listen to your body, taking that opportunity to think about the nourishment around it. We also tend to eat really quickly. We eat while we work. We eat while we drive. We eat while we watch TV. We eat so that we're not really paying attention. So removing some of those distractions sometimes too, and just creating a supportive environment around your meals can be really helpful.
Okay. Intuitive eating.
Intuitive eating.
Keep that in mind.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Lots of information about it. And it seems like it should be simple, but sometimes you need a little help incorporating it. And
got to work on it.
That's right. It takes a little practice.
And that's why you're here.
That's why I'm here.
You could give them a hand.
That's right. If anybody feels like they need a little support, this is what I love about food, is shifting that mindset, rebuilding that relationship with food. And making a plan that works in our routine day-to-day life, but also works when illness comes into play, works when we go on vacation, works when our routine is somehow disrupted.
Well, if they want more information on this subject or any of the others we've talked about on past Taco Tuesdays,
yeah.
How can they find you?
They can go online to Official Synapse, S-Y-N-A-P-S-E, officialsynapse.com. And there's a little link up top for a discovery call, and you can do that to get in touch with us. You can also call the clinic if you'd like and let them know you heard us on Q92 and want to talk to Amber. And the number is 651-209-9906. And they'll let me know you called, and I'll reach out.
All right, and their office is in the Twin Cities, but you are located right out here in Madison, Minnesota.
I am. I'm out here, so I'm happy to work with you out here. Still do virtual, whatever works best.
All right, very good. Well, Amber, thank you, and we look forward to talking again on Taco Tuesday next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.